Good morning, you lovely lot. It's great to see you. And a particular welcome this morning. So we've got a couple of visitors to them. That must be Michael and Shirley's friends. Good to have you with us. And lovely to welcome Bill again and his wife Yvonne. Bill will be speaking later on. Let's just take a moment to refocus away from the notices to the purpose for being here, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ, our beloved Father, and the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you that you promised to be with us as we gather together this morning. And we want to bring you our worship, Lord. We want to bless you this morning. In our songs, in our prayers, in our attentiveness to what you are saying to us, in our willingness to be changed into the likeness of Jesus, in our willingness to serve you when we leave here throughout the week, Father. So, Father, send us your Holy Spirit, we pray. Strengthen us, renew us as we worship you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Tom's going to bring us our first reading now, which you can find in 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning at verse 9. 1 Kings 19, verse 9, and that's page 361.
There he went into a cave and spent the night, and the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said, Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said to him, Go back the way you came, and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and whose mouths have not kissed him. This is the word of the Lord.
We're going to have our second reading now, which is from Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 22. That's page 981. And Jenny is coming to read it for us.
So Matthew 14, beginning to read at verse 22. Jesus walks on the water. Page 981. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Amen.
Bill, would you like to come and share with us?
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Making sure the mic's working. So. Good morning. Jesus said, "It is I, do not be afraid." Words we need to hear again and again and again, today, tomorrow, and always. "It is I, do not be afraid." We need to hear those words because we live in the kind of world in which we live, a world in which life is a struggle. Because we're caught up in a battle in which we are constantly struggling against problems and disappointments and doubts and fears, which all have the same effect upon us. They rob us of our security and our serenity and our peace and our satisfaction. Doubts and fears are not, as some people think, avoidable. Christians wrestle with them like everyone else. We read in the first reading of the experience of the prophet Elijah. He was a model of integrity and fidelity. He was one who came to be ranked alongside Moses, the greatest prophet of all. And yet, as we saw in just those few verses, he was paralyzed with fear. His faith and his hope and his confidence was gone. And what is so frightening is that they disappeared suddenly and without warning. Only a short while earlier, Elijah had audaciously challenged 450 prophets of Baal to a spectacular barbecue. One that would prove to the people who the real God was. He'd boldly mocked their efforts, made fun of them, told them to pray louder, suggested that their God was either asleep or had gone on holiday. And the Bible tells us that they went on ranting and raving until the middle of the next afternoon, when they finally admitted defeat, for there was no answer from their gods. Even though Elijah's offering was doused with water, fire came upon it and God answered the prophet's prayer and convinced the people that Elijah's God was the true and living God whom they should worship. And Elijah's faith must have been absolutely sky high. And yet all it took for it to disappear was Jezebel's warning that Ahab had vowed to kill him. It so spooked him that he fled in fear for his life, losing all sight of the God whose power had been so manifestly, mightily manifested such a short time before. Frankly and honestly, the Bible says, Elijah was afraid. He fled for his life, and that in the desert to where he'd gone, he sat under the shade of a tree and wished he could die. This exceptional prophet wished he could die. But listen to what happened next. God found him. God provided him with food, restored his faith, banished his fears, and caused his faith to once again return. Not in some powerful wind, not in some blazing, consuming fire, but in a still, small voice, which said in effect, Elijah, it is I, fear not. Every Christian needs to know, no matter how close they feel to God, no matter how long they have walked with Jesus, they will never, never know a time when doubts and fears are no longer possible. They are. What many have said in testimony is that their most troubling doubts, their most disturbing fears, have come upon them unexpectedly and often quickly, sometimes and frequently, following some high moment, some time of great blessing, some time when they have felt particularly close to God. That seems rather strange. But what they've also testified is that God has always at such times answered their prayers, met them in their hour of need, and gently led them to the cave of mercy, where their doubts are taken away and their fears are removed. They've been brought to that place where they could meet with the God who is always there, waiting in the silence. We find in the New Testament Jesus inheriting the mantle of those two great men of God, Moses and Elijah, whom he is seen alongside on the Mount of Transfiguration, you remember, when God's voice called, "This is my Son, my beloved, hear him." Jesus, having received news of his cousin John's death, seeking a bit of peace and quiet, retired to the country, but a crowd of people quickly clamoured around him, demanding his attention. Graciously, Jesus ministered to their need, healing their sick, teaching them God's word, even meeting their physical need in this instance with the provision of food. Graciously, he met their needs. Meanwhile, his disciples were sailing across the lake when they were struck by a violent storm which threatened their very lives. Huge waves crashed into the side of the boat, filling them with fear. When Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. But now they had an even bigger fear, real fear, paralyzing fear. Was what they saw a ghost? Huge though their fear was, on hearing Jesus's "fear not," that fear left them, as do our worst fears. Peter was so affected, he did what few of us would have done. He left the relative security of the boat. And at Jesus' call, he walked on the water for a while, for a little while. Alongside his faith in Jesus, there still remained a fear of the destructive power of the sea. And all too soon his faith gave way to doubt, and he began to sink, and he cried out, "Lord, save me," which Jesus did, because Jesus always does. He never fails to answer the needy cry. Having reached the boat, Jesus clambered on board, and the storm abruptly came to an end. And the gospel says they believed, they trusted, they worshipped him. We, like those disciples, are continually caught up in the storms of life. Sorrow, tragedy, suffering, disappointment are always there, waiting to engulf us. Yes, there are times of victory, there are times of triumph. There are times when we feel safe, there are times when we feel strong and secure. But let's not be taken unawares. Doubts and fears and difficulties wait, ready to rob us of our joy and our peace and our hope, which we do well to recognise. But what we need to recognise even more clearly is that our God is a God whose nature is love, a God who is always waiting to raise us up, waiting to rescue us from whatever it might be that is the cause of our doubts, the cause of our fears, the cause of our pain. So whatever boat you might now be in, no matter what storm you might now face, the storm of a broken relationship, the storm of a sudden decline in health, the storm that comes with the death of a loved one, whatever storm you might be facing, above it, hear the voice of the Saviour Lord, who says, "It is I, be not afraid." And the storm you face will be still. No matter what cave you find yourself hiding in, no matter how dark or how deep may be your doubts, your fears, your sorrows, or your troubles, may you hear and heed the Master's voice. "It is I. Be not afraid." In a moment of quiet, let's hear the Master's voice. For there are storms that we wrestle with, we face, we struggle against, even at this present time. There are storms that we'll be called to face in the future. And we're not strong enough to overcome the storms that come. But we're strong enough to reach out in faith to the one who calms the storms of life, who says, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Loving Lord, crucified, risen Lord, hear our prayer. Help us to hear your voice saying, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Whatever boat we might be in, no matter how great a storm might be hitting us at this very moment, assure us of your love. help us to know that you know our need. Battered by the waves of pain, of sorrow, of need, may we know that you know. You know that wind which we face that is against us. You know our strengths. You know our weaknesses. You know of our faith and you know of our doubts. Lord, you know. Come to us, meet with us in those fears, in those doubts and in that pain. Lord, come to us and help us right now to come to you, to come as we are, to come knowing that to us you are saying, it is I. Be not afraid. Come. And help us to know that you, Lord our God, hear this our prayer. For Jesus' sake. Amen.